Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to One in Messiah here on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday morning. And this is One in Messiah, where we teach the plan of salvation through the Scripture. So hope you've had an awesome week. We just spent the last few weeks in the time of resurrection joy and resurrection teaching, and we did quite a few teachings here and in my other platforms on resurrection. And now we are counting down the days until we get to Pentecost. And those of you who have studied Torah and know something about Scripture will know that when I say counting down the days, I mean it in a literal way, because it's one of God's laws. You basically count the days between Passover and the 50th day. You count 7 weeks of seven, and the 50th day is Pentecost. We use the Greek word Pentecost for 50 days. In Hebrew, it's Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. So we're in that period now, and that's called counting the Omer. And I have to confess, I haven't been counting the Omer. So I'm not sure what number day we are on, but it doesn't matter, because today we're going to talk about foundations. And before I go on, if you like teachings about Scripture in its entirety and New Testament teachings being connected to Old Testament teachings, I would invite you to come every Friday night to the live version of One in Messiah. Yes, there is a live and in-person version, and we have it every Friday night at about 6:30. And I say about 6:30 because it varies. Sometimes it's 6:30, sometimes it's 6:40, sometimes it's 6:45. But anyway, we meet at 709 Brook Park Road, which is Calvary Chapel of Cleveland Church, 709 Brook Park Road, at 6:30. And we do some Hebrew prayers. We light the Shabbat candles. We do some praise and worship music. I do a teaching. And it's always connecting Old Testament, New Testament passages. So if you like that kind of thing, if you like to do complete Bible studies and get a foundation of things, I really recommend that you come. We'd love to see you. Just pop in. 709 Brook Park Road, 6:30, every Friday. We don't meet Good Friday, and we don't meet the Friday after Thanksgiving, but every other Friday we're there, unless there's a snowstorm in the winter or a tornado in the summer or something. But so back to the lesson. So because we went through the resurrection season, we know that Jesus is the foundation. Now, we actually have Him, capital H, as the foundation. And of course, we have God's Word, capital W, as the foundation. I'll advertise another website later called Roots and Foundations, where you can do online Bible studies and take a Torah class and listen to a lot of audio teachings and see a lot of video teachings. But that's rootsandfoundations.org. If I get a chance later, I'll tell you a little more about it. But anyway, the foundations we have are Jesus through the work that he did on the cross and the resurrection. And as we talked about the last few weeks, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. He conquered sin. He dealt with sin on the cross. And because the last enemy, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy we face is death. So human Jesus of Nazareth physically died and then was raised and came out of the tomb. And therefore, he conquered death. So Paul tells us that sin was judged in the flesh because he was the unblemished sacrifice. Sin was judged in the flesh. Just like in Torah, the unblemished lamb was sacrificed after the people's or the person's sin was put on the animal. And we know that on the cross, Jesus bore the sins of everyone. And so he conquered sin by bleeding and dying. He conquered death by rising. And this is all prefigured throughout the scripture. And that's why that's our motto at One in Messiah. We teach the plan of salvation through the whole scripture. The plan does not begin in Matthew 1:1. It begins in Genesis, specifically Genesis 3:15. And so the plan of salvation goes through all of the scripture. And so the things that came before were prefigurements. The things that came before were foretellings, were shadows of what was going to happen, of what Messiah was going to do. And so it's important to study all of the scripture. That is our foundation. And so we have the saving death of Jesus on the cross, and we have the Word, which starts in Genesis 1:1, not in Matthew 1:1. So Jesus himself addresses this in John chapter 5, and verse 39, he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So in other words, you search through the whole scripture, looking for eternal life, but these all testify of me. And then down in verse 46, he says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So in other words, all of the Bible is one continuous word. Whether Moses was the author, whether the other authors of sacred scripture were the authors, the things that Jesus said, the things that Paul and John and Peter and James and the writer to the Hebrews wrote later, these were all the Word of God, and this was all about, these are all the things that testify of him. So if you don't believe the writings, you won't believe him. Just like when the rich man and the beggar who was outside, and the beggar died and went to be with Abraham, and the rich guy died and was in torment. And I don't want to get into all that, but the rich man says, "Well then, Abraham, can't you send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't end up in a place like this?" And Abraham says to him, "They have Moses and the prophets." And the guy says, yeah, I know, but hey, if they see somebody come back from the dead, they'll really believe that. And Abraham says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe that someone would rise from the dead. So in other words, Moses and the prophets talked about resurrection. And they talked about what Messiah was going to do. So what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the Tanakh. He's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the prophets. He's talking about the writings. This is what he's emphasizing. He doesn't tell them to wait. He doesn't say, well, you know, if you guys wait around for another 100 to 250 years, there's a New Testament that's coming, and pretty soon some of you and some other men are going to start writing it. No. He says, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, talks about me. The scriptures that are in existence talk about me. He didn't tell them another testament was coming. They knew another covenant was coming because, of course, that comes from Jeremiah 31:31. He also doesn't give them any other sources to look up. He doesn't say, go to the library and check this out. He doesn't say, go up to the temple and there's some scrolls there nobody knows about. They'll tell you. No, he says, it's all in the scripture that you all read. Then in John 8, when he's talking to the religious leaders, he says, in 8:43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Why don't they understand him? You know, Paul, at the beginning of Romans, I can't remember if it's 2 or 3, chapters 2 and 3, he talks about the law and people who follow the law and people who don't follow the law. But he says that of all the people that should have known that Jesus was the Messiah, it should have been those religious men. Because all they did was study scripture. They debated Torah. They talked about the prophets. They talked about the writings. So of all the people that should have known here was the Messiah, it should have been those guys. I interrupted my verse, though. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. If you don't understand the word, you don't understand Jesus. If you don't understand Torah, you're not going to understand why we needed a Messiah, why he had to come, why he came when he did, how he did, why he did what he did in the way that he did it, even down to the Last Supper and the cross. All these things fulfilled Torah. Resurrection fulfilled the prophets. When the original creed says he rose according to the scriptures, there was no New Testament yet. They were talking about references from the Old Testament that talked about resurrection. So he's telling them, if you don't understand my word, you can't understand me. Yes, we can know about him. Just like people always say, well, you know, you can read books about Jesus. There's lots of biographies about him. That doesn't mean you know him in a personal, profound way. But if you understand the word, you understand him. And if you understand him, if you know him, then you will understand the word. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's chapter 3. And the beginning of 4, Paul writes about how the Jews that read Moses still have a veil over their hearts. They don't understand the words because they have a veil over their hearts. But that veil is taken away in Christ, he says. So once you know him, once you know the Messiah, the veil is taken away from the scripture. The scales are taken away from your eyes. If you don't know Jesus and you try to read the Bible, you get a little bit out of it here and there, but you don't see the complete message. You don't see the power of it. And so this is what he's referring to. And the people he's talking to, these were the people of the word. And like I said, this is all these men did. I've had the opportunity to talk to even an ultra-Orthodox rabbi at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, and it was such a great conversation. I wish I could find the guy again, but, you know, he knew Torah and the prophets like the back of his hand, but missed the whole point. And we got into quite a discussion about what these prophets were writing about, what it all pointed to. So these were people of the word, but they couldn't understand him because they couldn't understand the word, no matter how much they studied. And what was their defense? Oh, Abraham's our father. You know, we're children of Abraham. Right. Well, we're children of Abraham. Well, they told that to John the Baptist, too, who told them God can raise children of Abraham from the stones if he wants to. Jesus said, well, if Abraham was your father, you would be behaving like Abraham. You would be doing Abraham things. But no, Abraham's not your father. God is not your father. You follow your own father, who's the devil. You don't understand me because you don't understand the word. And you don't understand me because the word that you look at, you're not interpreting correctly. You're not seeing how it applies to me. You don't have the understanding. You have the literal meanings, but he says the word is not in you. And so you don't understand it. They couldn't understand the message he was saying, even though everything he said was consistent with Torah and the prophets and the writings. And this, of course, goes all through his teachings. And it's beautifully explained by Paul, of course, in the letters. It's beautifully described by the writer to the Hebrews, especially, who just does a masterful job of showing how Jesus fulfills everything in Torah. And he becomes the eternal high priest, and he's also the eternal sacrifice. They couldn't understand this. They were very concerned about the law. You know, Paul takes this up, and I love 2 Timothy chapter 3 at 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration. The Holy Spirit breathes it out. The Greek that's used here is theonoustos, God breathed. So he breathed out the word. And in that case, it is a living word. Nobody cares anymore, but it is a living word. We're even worse than the Pharisees because they knew the word. They just didn't understand the depth of it. We don't even know the word. And, well, I don't want to get into that now because I want to do a whole different series of programs on that. But you see, it's profitable for reproof and for correction. Imagine that in our time. Nobody's ever reproved or corrected because everybody's right. But if you study this, because it's breathed out by the Holy Spirit, it says the man of God is complete and equipped for every good work. And then he goes on to tell Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy, as a young boy, was studying the Scriptures. What Scriptures did he have? The Old Testament. Timothy had the Old Testament. Paul says you've been studying what we would call the Old Testament since you were a little boy, and you know that this will make you wise for salvation. How? Through faith in the Messiah. Make you follow the law better. Not make you say more prayers. Make you sit or stand in a different part of the synagogue and then the church. No, it comes through faith in Christ Jesus. So if you know that word, you understand this. You've been studying this since you were a kid in the Old Testament. This is the only scripture that Timothy had. Then I also like to point out when Paul went to Berea in Acts 17. And he talks to the Jews in Berea, and he says they're more fair-minded than the Jews in Thessalonica were. He says they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, and prominent women as well as men. So in other words, they had the Old Testament. They listened to Paul preach the gospel message. Read Corinthians chapter 1 and read the beginning of Romans chapter 1, and you'll see what Paul does. He's not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Well, today we're ashamed of the gospel. We don't even want to talk about it. We don't want people to think we're weird. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. We want to tell people just whatever you believe is fine. They checked through the Old Testament, through the Tanakh, and didn't find any objection to anything that Paul said. And it said they searched through it daily. So the Bereans only had the Old Testament. Now, we're living in the 21st century of the Christian era. What do we have? We have the Old Testament. We have the Tanakh. We have the New Testament, the New Covenant. We have 2,000 years of Christian teaching, reflection, meditation, development of faith. The faith was once for all handed down to the saints, as Jude says. But over time, we understand it better. At the beginning, it was the church councils. But I don't want to get into all that now, but for 2,000 years, we have had this. What else do we have today? We have false teachers. We have feel-good theology. We've made everything simple and quick because no one knows anything. No one has an attention span more than about a minute and a half. And we want everybody to feel good. We don't have the study and the development and the debating and the lecturing that someone like Paul did, or even that the Pharisees did for that matter, because we've simplified everything, because we have to be nice and we have to be tolerant. And we think this is the gospel now. And we think that we're becoming better people because we are tolerant. Well, that goes against the foundation. And that was the original thing. And it dawned on me one day, we're not going to do this today, but in the parable of the sower, where the sower throws the seed and all different kinds of soil, and at first nothing grows, and then the final one is great soil, and it grows and yields a big harvest. The modern world doesn't believe there's anything wrong with the soil. The soil's each individual hearer. The world doesn't believe there's anything wrong with the soil. The problem must be with the seed. It's the Bible that's the problem. It's the word that's the problem. It's the beliefs that are the problem. Something is wrong with the word. It's not the individual believer, because there's nothing wrong with being a believer. And there's nothing wrong with each person believing what they want to believe, is what I meant to say. It's not the hearer's problem. The problem is in the word. After all, we've evolved. We've moved on. We have become more knowledgeable. We have become better people. So we will decide what's true. You know, Paul summarizes that in 2 Timothy 3, too. He says, you're going to see people that have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And from such people, turn away. Don't hang around with people like that, that change the word, that change the beliefs that have been going on since the earliest scriptures were written. So this is very dangerous. So you have this word of truth as the foundation. It's breathed out and it's inerrant. But now we know better than the Holy Spirit. We know better than the Spirit of truth. Because now the creature is more advanced than the Creator. We'll decide what this means. And it all goes back to what Paul says, I'm sorry, what Satan says to Eve. Did God say that? Yes. But is that what he really meant? No, he didn't really mean that. Oh, I know the music is already playing. I didn't even get through half of my notes. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in. Be with us again next week here on The Word 1220 for One and Messiah. Have an awesome week.
The previous program was sponsored by One in Messiah.